Thank you so much for joining us for our wrap up to our growth spurt class that we had in January. And we're using this venue as a wrap up to the class because we were snowed out. And you know, this year as our church embraces the year of the disciple, and that's where one Christ follower helps another Christ follower follow Christ. And this is a main mandate of the Great Commission, that we are making disciples. And, you know, we just released a video of discipleship in the home. And now we want to turn our attention to discipleship through our groups, because our groups, it's one of the greatest opportunities for you to begin your journey of discipleship. And I have some great leaders in our church with us today, and I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. Who's with us today? Mason, you start.
Yeah, my name is Mason Orr. I help lead our side-by-side small group, and then I also serve on our nominating committee.
I'm Denise Jenny, and I enjoy working with the singles ministry. I teach the middle age group, as we tend to call ourselves, and I also have the pleasure of serving on church council.
And I'm Brad Ayler. I oversee all of our groups here as one of our pastors. I also teach a group on Sunday morning and a part of the nominating team as well. So,
well, Brad, let's start with you because, you know, groups in the life of our church is one of our greatest strengths as a church. Like you may not know this, but our groups in the life of our church, it's better than any church I've ever seen, in all honesty. Brad, I want you to just help us understand the philosophy of groups and how that's a pathway to discipleship.
Yeah. Like Barna just did a research about biblical community or discipleship in biblical community. And one of the ways that you do that is mentor-mentee relationships. And one of the ways is you do it in the home, where a parent speaks into that. But a big part of that is groups. And whether that's in a church or in another small group where you're around different types of people and more than just one. And so that's what we have established here. And I think that it has been the strength of our church for a long time. It's the lifeblood of what we do here. And so as we developed our groups, we said, okay, how do we really make sure that the focus of all of our groups is creating that environment where authentic relationships can happen so that spiritual transformation happens? And so it's not just a come into a room and sit down and study the Bible. It needs to be a culture of connecting in a deep way with one another so that transformation inside spiritually can happen. And so we have some core values that we try to establish that are a part of all of our groups, really from preschool all the way up to adults, but mainly in our adult ministry. And I'll just kind of walk through some of those because it defines really what we want to accomplish in our groups. And then I want you guys to say or tell us how that fleshes out. As a part of our groups, we want to first and foremost be devoted to Christ individually. As a person, you have to have a authentic walk with Jesus before you walk into the room, whether it's a mentor-mentee relationship or a group setting. You need to be walking with Jesus. And so, you know, group life comes out of your personal life. And so that's where we start. Number two is we want you to pursue deep relationships with one another. Denise, I know you're going to talk about this in a minute, but really you need to be known, and you need to know people at a deeper level than just what's your name, or just a little bit about you. And so I think people, when they come into an environment and they're known and they're able to trust each other, deeper things can happen. And so we pursue that. Number three, we offer biblical counsel. We try to make that important to where we offer help in life and how to do life and encourage one another in that. And so wisdom is important to help each other with. We want to live authentically. We want to be real with one another. We want to know, you know, isn't this all about the highs? We have some lows in our life. And how do we deal with that? And I think a disciple needs to know that to help one another in our Christian walk. And then we want to encourage and admonish one another. I know those are big words, but we encourage each other, but we also have to trust each other enough to go, you know, there's some things in your life that aren't lining up. to scripture. And you know what? I need that in my life. I need somebody to speak into my life and go, hey, you need to move towards maturity in this area of your life. And then we want to engage missionally, be a part of a team or a group that goes outside the walls on a Sunday morning and go, you know, we're going to impact this culture that's lost and that needs some help. And so we want to do that outside the walls, but we want to do that first and foremost inside our group where we lead one another. And there's a bunch of different ways that you can lead out in your group. And I know, Mason, you're going to talk about that a little bit, but the leadership development in our groups is important to where we all are now a part of a team that wants to walk out and make a difference and impact the community. And so that's kind of our philosophy.
I think it's interesting that in the time of social media, we're finding our society is less socially connected than ever. You know, it's fascinating. People are starving for these relationships where we're known. It's not just known about your Facebook highlight reel, but really know your life and be able to confront. And I see this all the time from my seat as the pastor, as I, you know, deal with people going through grief and loss. And I watch our groups running into people, offering help before I even get there. Often when they call the pastor, hey, come and help me, I show up and their group's there already, you know, which is gold, just absolute gold. Well, Denise, tell us a little bit about how that's fleshed out. Or Mason, I don't know which one you want to go first. What do y'all think?
I'll start.
Ladies first.
I'll start. In our class, we're seeking to build culture. And I love that you've used that word because I feel that that's very important, particularly within the singles ministry. There has to be a culture of acceptance. And we've started that with the concept of being real, acknowledging instead of always wearing our Sunday school face, just acknowledging within our class that we've brought hurts and we've brought issues and that we don't always do it right. And so that reality takes a bit to build, to get people to be comfortable with acknowledging that. It's very hard to take off the Sunday school face. It helps when we hear each other's stories. And so we seek to do that as well, to know each other well, to know, sometimes it's your singleness journey, but sometimes it's your life journey as well. It also brings that aha moment because you can say, I can identify. I know what you're feeling. I've had something similar. I've had the exact same thing. So we start with the premise of let's be honest about our struggles. And so in the early days, of course, when we've only been a class 2.5 years, I think, about Brad. In the early days, it was pretty much up to me to be the one to be honest and to share with them challenges and difficulties. So I tried to, you know, to model that to get it started. But we have something that I say to them every week, and I repeat it often, and that is run to us. And if any of my class is watching it, they're probably laughing because I do say that so much. But we tend to do that when the hurt gets difficult, when we've made a colossal mistake, when we're embarrassed about something that we don't want others to know. The first thing you do is you quit going to church. And so what we've seen is that if we can capture that quickly, if we can remind them when things are tough, you run to us.
That's cool.
Because we want to walk through it with you. We want to help correct and curb and redirect your thinking and your actions as well. But we want to use Jesus's model of loving us through a difficult time. So our culture is about run to us.
I love that. It's like so many scriptures flood my mind. First Peter, you know, Satan tries to destroy like a lion. The tactic of a lion is to isolate and get a prey off by itself. And, you know, it is so interesting, the attack of the enemy when we go through a tough time. Oh, I don't want to go to church. I got to have everything together. And the church is a hospital, not a country club. And it's a place to come for healing. And when we see the cross and we understand the cross is level. We get that. But I love that running to us. I love it.
Well, I mean, Jesus created us for community. I mean, we can have a personal one-on-one relationship with Christ, but we're created for community. And so you need that. And when you're in sin or when you're in a hurt, you tend to isolate and the enemy can attack. And so that's why Jesus created us for each other. We needed that. And that's called accountability,
yes.
Right? And so I know that's played out a lot in your group as well, that accountability to be a part of something that you've promised to be a part of because we need each other.
Yeah. And in the day of online, grateful for these mediums, like we're coming like that now, but the desperate need we have of like, hey, you know, that iron sharpening iron, that life on life relationship, though we want to utilize the tools of communication with online platforms, and you can connect online in meaningful ways. However, we do want to move to this physical presence and accountability where we're known and not just checking in.
And to be known, there has to be a high degree of trust. And so the culture that you set in your group, what you win people with is what you keep them with. And so if I'm leading with vulnerability and trust and just letting everyone know, like, I don't have it all together, or I'm struggling, which has been true for me and my wife recently. If I'm not doing that, how can I expect the other people in our small group to be vulnerable, to be known, to have that trust? And so a high degree of trust is required to get that vulnerability. That's so important for accountability.
Mason, we've watched your group with that relational depth. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. It's one of the best in our church, honestly. Tell us a little bit about that relational depth that is developing there.
Yeah, so a little bit more about our group. So side by side, we're married with young kids. And so it is the...
And you keep having kids. Yes. Everybody keeps having kids. There were nine people last night at the
family
dedication.
We're popping them out. And so we're taking that, you know, command to be fruitful, multiply, literally. Our group is defined by probably just a constant of chaos where people are running late and, you know, kids are getting sick and, you know, different schedules and working all that out. But instead of shying away from that, what our group has really tried to do is lean into that. And so we've used different seasons kind of throughout the school year, for example, to do different things. So for example, in the summer on Monday nights, we started doing Monday night dinners where we go around to one person's house and just spend time together. That informal time has been really valuable, and that's allowed us to really build a lot of that trust because, hey, I'm just spending time hanging out with this guy or this girl, and I can get to know them. I know how their week was. I know the hard things in their life, the good things in their life. And so we've really tried to lean into, hey, let's devote some time just for informal time where we're building relationships, building trust, really getting to know people. And then on top of that, informal time is, you know, it's super great and it's necessary, but if it's just informal time, you miss, right? Some of that formal time is also required. And so some of the other things that we've done book studies, we've done just small group settings outside of Sunday mornings where we're looking at, you know, different books of the Bible, different content that really emphasizes spiritual formation and growth. And so we've got the informal time where, you know, we're getting to know each other, but also are pretty intentional about that formal time of, I mean, how can we grow in our faith with each other?
And I love how you guys lead your groups because you both teach. And so you're not teaching from the aspect of, I want you to learn this, but I want you to apply it, mm-hmm. right? And so we're going through the book of Acts all year, right? And so we have habits that we want to create in our people. And as a disciple, we should be able to say, okay, I'm going to take this habit that I learned today and I'm going to apply it on Monday. And then I'm going to come back and you're going to ask me about it on Sunday. And so it's not just about coming to Sunday school or a group on a Sunday, but we are truly saying, hey, we're trying to create a movement here of disciples impacting a culture. We're not just trying to learn some things. And I love how you guys push your groups.
I love that, Brad, because like my dissertation on death, it's great at parties, everybody loves to talk about it, but it's a study and it failed. my study failed because my point was I was teaching these youth ministers the theory behind the funeral process. And it was excellent as far as the right, everywhere to stand, what to do, every aspect from the moment of death to the end of the funeral. But yet it failed because they had never done it before. And so if we just have groups that are just theory and don't know how to apply it, I love it that you're teaching through Acts, teaching what the Bible says, but then also focusing on what do you do with this? That's gold. And that's discipleship, right? It's when you actually go live it out on Monday and Tuesday and in your marriages, in your parenting, in your work.
And so often your one-on-one mentor-mentee is meeting on a Thursday, yeah, and you're asking about, hey, are you doing this? Remember we talked about that on Sunday. So it's all encompassing together all of these aspects of discipleship and community. It's cool.
But you know, Denise, your biblical accountability, what does that look like?
So it accountability has to begin in love. It's got to be Holy Spirit led. But it has to begin with a relationship as well. You have to earn the right to call someone into accountability. And so we approach anytime we're working with our folks, it's got to be bathed in prayer. Mm-hmm. It's got to be adjacent to a strong relationship of trust. And we try to know enough of what's going on in our people's lives that we can help them be proactive in their decision making, that it could be a warning rather than a recovery, mm-hmm, which we'd love to catch them early in it. But there is a vulnerability that's required if someone's going to receive that well and allow us to help guide and redirect, that it requires a certain vulnerability. One of our intense times of focus is we're checking on our people all the time. Mm-hmm. Our folks get phone calls. They would tell you that they just automatically expect a phone call or a text message because we feel like that constant contact not only builds responsibility and it builds accountability, but it allows us to swoop in and serve, mm-hmm, when there's a need as well. We've been working on raising up, you know, at 2.5 years old as a class, we've been working on raising up leaders from within, and so that the accountability isn't just teacher down, mm-hmm, but so that it has that feeling of community as well. And believe it or not, one of the things that's really helped us in leadership was the remodel time. Who knew? But in that time at those tables, we needed leaders at our tables. And so we hadn't really had to ask people to step up and be ready to take the questions and lead their group. But we did that. Mm-hmm. And that has carried back over now that we're back up in our classroom. That's something that has carried over as we now ask them to be a part of in a leadership role, take someone on one-on-one to do the kind of mentoring and guidance that's needed. And we're a multi-generational group. We cover about a 30 to 40 year span. So we have lots of opportunity for some generational, mm-hmm, help as well. We've got some raising children and we have some raising their grandchildren. And so it's been fascinating to watch the leaders be able to step up and speak from their own experience, to speak from their own walk with God and how powerful that is to those who are seeking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I think both of you have healthy groups in the life of our church. And one of the reasons I want you to hear about this, because that's a pathway for you, for you to become a disciple, but also to be a disciple maker. So Mason, I want you to talk about, you know, more than just numerically, y'all have multiplied, but what does a healthy group look like? Because it's more than just a number, yeah, of people. It's not just...
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, I think it starts with the vision of, you know, we have the vision of our church, but you know, even in Matthew 28, the Great Commission of therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The calling that God has placed on all of us as believers is to go and make disciples. And so with that, there is the implication of, hey, I'm going to share this with other people and help them become disciples. And so when we think about growth in the context of, you know, our small group, we think kind of through two different things of, one, just personal growth. Am I growing closer in my relationship with God? Am I growing closer in my relationship with my small group, with the, you know, accountable relationships that I have around me? So that's something we really think through. So how that kind of plays out is, you know, we take what we're doing on Sunday mornings, going through the book of the Bible, but also we take those small group meetings outside of that, like book studies, to really hone in on, hey, where does our small group need to grow? Is there a discipline? Is there something else that, you know, we can really look at and try to grow in? And you know, the Bible talks about, you know, knowing the condition of your flocks and being a good shepherd. And so we look at that. Like, are we reading our Bible consistently? Are we praying consistently? Are we serving? And so we really look at that. And then I think second to that is the idea of multiplication of, you know, 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things you've heard from me, entrust to reliable men who will be also qualified to teach others. And so there's this idea of taking what I've learned and trusting it to a reliable man or woman so that they can teach others. Mm-hmm. And so our small group actually went through that process of multiplication where we were a bigger group and now we're two smaller groups. And
that have become bigger groups again.
That have become bigger groups again. And it's really exciting.
And that's not always fun.
No, it was hard. It's because you grow close to those people and you really enjoy them. And then it's, you know, just the nature of being in a different small group of I'm not spending as much time as I spent with that person. But I think that's why it has to go back to the vision of, I mean, what are we doing this for? Is it to have the biggest and coolest small group?
Comfortable or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's to help people
and
become
disciples.
I love
how you guys are pushing everybody in your group to be a part of it. You don't have to just be the teacher or the director. I mean, you've got care leaders. You've got, man, somebody needs to plan a party, right? And it doesn't need to be you as a teacher. you know, somebody
can be a great party.
and party with a purpose, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're about connecting people that aren't here yet. And so let's get somebody that has that gift of hospitality. We talked about that last night with our women. And, you know, there's a place in your group that to serve and to use the gifts that God's given you. I think that's part of being a disciple too and raising up and what God has given you to use to go and impact somebody else. And so whether it's teaching, care group leader, social care group, somebody's got to take attendance and make sure you know who is there and who's not there so you can follow up. I mean, there's a lot of admin stuff. There's a lot of things that people are good at that can use their gifts to build the kingdom.
You know, so that's cool. I love how you're embracing, both of you, I've seen your groups embrace the responsibility of discipleship. I mean, Brad baptized a mother and a son from your group. And the other day, I told Brad this. I don't know if I've ever even mentioned this to our church yet, so I'm going to do it right now. I've been filling out these Rejoice applications from families. And I caught myself the other day. I had filled out 4 in one day for Rejoice Schools, and they get a pastoral recommendation. Mm-hmm. And I typed in the notes, yeah, we just baptized their dad. Yeah, we just baptized 3 of the 4. We had baptized the fathers of the homes within the last year. And those were coming out of y'all's group. And that discipleship of men of a house. So you look at what the Bible says about that and how to steward that, to then entrust to these reliable men who are growing and who are beginning to grow, needing to grow in their faith. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the fact that y'all are making room, we got to make room for people and not be so closed off. And y'all have done that so very well, and that healthy growth, healthy groups. And
yeah, we're talking about that this morning in Matthew 9.
Yeah,
that right. Jesus looked on the crowds and had compassion on them. And he turned to the disciples and said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask mm-hmm. the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea there is the harvest is plentiful,
right?
And yes. the workers are few. Like yes. the answer isn't we need a bigger harvest field. The answer is we need more workers. Mm-hmm. And the only way you get more workers is we got to disciple them. Mm-hmm. We got to raise them up.
Yeah. Okay, so we got to kind of wrap this up. But I want you guys to help us, help just kind of offer some advice to somebody watching and going, okay, I need to grow in my faith. Why would groups be a great place to start? Why do you think, I'm going to let both of you take a stab at that. Mason, you go first. Because I didn't prepare you for that question. So I'm going to let Denise think a little bit. But even though she's like sharper than all of us on this table. But,
you cut my answer out and then just go right there. I think groups are a great place to grow because you get introduced and connected to other individuals that are and couples that are trying to do the same thing. We're all going through the same struggles. We all have really similar challenges. And there's something about, that's why one of the reasons we named our group Side by Side, about being shoulder to shoulder with someone and going through the hard things, but also the good things and growing together.
Mm-hmm. We base ours, and I believe all of our groups are going to base it on this, that in the presence of Jesus, I am fully known and fully loved. Mm. And
I may write that down. I might steal that. Can I steal that?
I'm sure I stole it from someone. But in that...
Say it again. Say it one more time.
In the presence of Jesus, I'm fully known and fully loved.
Man, that's a blessing.
And so that's to be our model for our groups. So when someone walks in that door, and again, intentionally, something that we love to do to hijack your word, ambassador, Chris, is we have a lot of visitors, and when we're notified that someone is coming to visit, we start a week ahead of time. They're getting calls, they're getting text messages. I assign them an ambassador, which again is some of my leaders stepping up as well, and we meet them at the door and bring them up. It's incredibly difficult to walk into a new place by yourself. Singles, the nature of being single is that you're going to walk in by yourself. And so we try to minimize that. And I think that's something our groups do well, all of our groups, is that culture that allows you to walk in and be received. Mm-hmm. And to walk in and to be recognized and to be loved. And we take that to the service with us as well, because we're doing something as simple as sitting together in a service. But I feel like in acknowledging that, I hate to call it a fear, but that uneasiness about walking in, when we can create the culture that starts before 9:30, mm-hmm. On a Sunday morning that starts ahead of time, that says, when you are with us, you are welcome. Mm-hmm. And we will walk through life. We will do life with you. I think that's our strong suit. And I believe that's the reason that it has for years been such a successful part of our church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brad, what would you say about that?
Well, one, I've already said it. We're not supposed to do life alone. So you got to get in a group that loves you, that cares for you, that wants to see you become more and more like Jesus. We're not going to be perfect, but you ought to be different. You ought to look different next week than you do today. You ought to look more like Jesus. You ought to sin less and less. And then number two, I think we take a model from even our kids' ministry. We say all the time to parents who are not used to coming to church for 2 hours. If you don't come for 2 hours, your kids are only getting half of what we offer. Our kids are divided up to where they have worship 1 hour, like we do, and small groups where we have adult leaders that are caring for them spiritually. And so if they just come for 1 hour, they get worship, which is great, or they get small groups where they cared in a leader that's caring for them, but they don't get both. And I think you're in the same boat. If you're just coming to worship, you're not known. You're not in a group that wants to hold you accountable and care for you. You're just missing out on about half of what we offer at our church. So it's important.
You know, Brad, I thank you. You're the one that inspired me to think about this class, this growth spurt class. I mean, it was Brad that said, look, this is really what our church needs to hear at this January, especially as we come into the year of the disciple, this how do we grow? And so, you know, I'm thankful for your leadership in the life of our church and your push to me of saying, look, this is a direction that our church needs to embrace. And so, you know, thank you guys for being such faithful leaders in the life of our church. It's so exciting to see just people grow up in their faith. And it's not just about a number. It's about, that's not what, I mean, I'm not saying that if nobody comes, that's...
We're creating an army.
We want to create an army
to go make a difference, yeah,
so
right?
We want to create a movement. Whole book of the Bible called Numbers, yeah, so yeah. We're in it right now. I mean, it's got some
cool
stuff.
We want to develop a movement.
But, it's bigger than that. It's not just drawing a crowd. It's mobilizing an army. That's the key. I think you just said it. It's not just getting a crowd. You can have a fight and get a crowd, but to mobilize God's people to be ambassadors for Christ and to go into a community and walk with the Lord together, how desperately our community needs to see people walking with the Lord and growing with the Lord. And so that's what I pray, that we grow up in our faith. That's the whole heart behind Growth Spurt. Now, we've got another couple of discussions to have. One is what God's doing among our women in the life of our church. And boy, I tell you what, it's incredible to watch how the ladies in our church are leading the way in discipleship and then serving among men in the life of our church. We're seeing some real work being done among groups of men in the life of our church. So we really pray that we this year learn, get this behind us, get these skills of one Christ follower helping another, let me get it right, one Christ follower helping another Christ follower follow Christ. It's a good thing to say fast backwards. But boy, it resonates in my heart. Thank you for joining us today and helping us wrap up this class. But it's not a wrap up of being a disciple. That's our entire year. And I pray we're catch this on Sunday. We want to see you on Sunday as we dive into God's word and continue this year of the disciple. Hey, thanks for joining us. And I hope you have a great day today, and we'll see you Sunday.